Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ashiana Housing Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Binay Sarda from EY. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Lizanne. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining this Q2 FY23 earnings call for Ashiana Housing Limited. The results and the investor presentation have been mailed to you, and it is also available on the stock exchange. In case if you do not have a copy of the same, please write to us and we'll be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results for this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us Mr. Varun Gupta, Whole-time Director of the company, and Mr. Vikash Dugar, the CFO. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance for this quarter, and then we'll follow it up with a Q&A session. I would like to remind you that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with uncertainties and risks that they face. These uncertainties and risks are included, but not limited to, what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you'll find on our website. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Vikash Dugar. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Binay. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Hope all of you and your families are keeping healthy. I welcome you all to discuss the performance of the second quarter of FY23 for Ashiana Housing. Thank you for joining us today. To start with, we launched our first premium homes project in Pune named Ashiana Malhar in Varunji and achieved 80 bookings till September 2022. Phase 3 of Ashiana Anmol was also launched in the quarter, and 106 bookings were achieved in the quarter itself. Area booked increased to 4.9 lakh sq ft in second quarter vis-à-vis 3.34 lakh sq ft in the first quarter. Value of area booked went up to rupees 240.19 crores versus 152.14 crores in the first quarter. There was an improvement in realization price at rupees 4,904 per sq ft in the second quarter as compared to rupees 4,557 per sq ft in the first quarter of the financial year 2022-23. This improvement was driven by both increasing prices across projects and change in mix towards higher priced projects. We handed over 2.07 lakh sq ft in second quarter, out of which 1.63 lakh sq ft was delivered in Shubham Phase 3. This was against a delivery of 2.11 lakh sq ft in the first quarter of the current financial year. Area constructed was at 4.38 lakh sq ft in the second quarter vis-à-vis 3.85 lakh sq ft in the first quarter. Total revenue increased to 91.72 crores in the current quarter, in the quarter gone by versus 81.22 crores in the first quarter. Total comprehensive income was recorded at -1.31 crore in second quarter FY23 vis-à-vis rupees 10.29 crores in quarter one FY23. Pre-operating cash flows was at -1.05 crores for Q2 FY23. However, cash flow from operations for half year ended 30th September remained positive at 26.67 crores. On this note, I would like to conclude my remarks. We will now be happy to discuss any questions or suggestions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon. And congratulations on Ashana Amra. Very pleasant surprise. My first question is on this Ashana Amra only, the Gurgaon launch. We have done 20% of sales in that project in the initial launch itself, okay? What will be our thoughts on next phases? Would we like to take more time, or if we think that right now the things are very good and everything, and hence we'll like to launch another phase of similar size? So just give some thoughts on that. How are you thinking and how are you planning on the project, just to understand your mindset?
Hi, Himanshu. Thank you. First, I would like to correct the name of the project is Amara. So Ashana Amara. On the second note, we are evaluating as to what to do. Okay, the market is very dynamic. So we are in the process of evaluating whether we should launch a phase right now. Should we delay? I think those deliberations are going on. We don't have a specific answer to that. That said, my view is the market in Gurgaon should remain good for a while, and as I've been elaborating earlier also, it continues to be not having much supply in the group housing segment. And I don't see much of it coming because of the regulatory situation there, with effectively no new group housing licenses for a bit. So most supply is coming in either floors or plots. I think the market should remain good for a while. So we'll take a call as we go along. I think we should, you know, typically we have liked to launch phases with a gap of 6 to 9 months. And I hope we are able to sort of maintain that here.
Okay. And second was on Ashana Malhar, okay? The Pune launch. After a considerable period of time, we launched the project. But and we had around 2 months, means what performance we can see, okay, on the PPD. So it seems we sold around 1/3 of the project launch, okay. So what is your sense about that market? And means when we look at Gurgaon, it was a very splendid success, I would say. Here it seems it is slightly slower than that. So is it because of market is slower there? Or you think, what is your assessment of this project?
So Himanshu, two things. I think, the market in Pune is a lot more competitive, a lot more dynamic, with a lot more supply in the market in the first place. As I said, in Gurgaon, the supply is constrained, so there is less competition from that perspective. So that definitely helped. But I think also, to the context that, you know, we have done one project in the Gurgaon market in Ashana and Mohol in Sohna. We've been present in NCR for 30 years. People know us from our senior living developments or other developments in Diwali. So overall, the reputation that we carry and the brand that we carry in Gurgaon is far superior to what we carry in Pune. So in Pune also, you know, even though we've not gotten the spectacular success in Ashana Amara, I'm sort of satisfied with what we've gotten. In our context of the market, I think we are fine. We will be able to, at this phase, sell off the phase before the phase. Our biggest aim is to ensure that we sell off the phase before the phase construction is closed, that we don't end up with sort of unsold built inventory. I think we've gotten enough over there that shouldn't be a challenge.
And one more thing, see, area under construction is around 4.719 million feet, okay, and the area booked is around 3.7 million square feet, okay, and there also Uttar Lavasa is there, but so clearly we have only a million square feet of saleable area under construction, okay. Are we satisfied with that number? Let's say if we want to have a 3 million square feet of target, okay. And how do you look at that figure, and what should be a sustainable numbers you would like to have? Because
So two things, Himanshu. First, I will tackle the question. One is where is 1 million? So I'll just say that you know, we are looking to launch another 1.5 odd million square foot in the second half of the financial year, of which Ashana Amara has is one part which has been launched. Ashiana Advik also is in that in the launch phase. Right now, we don't see, we're looking to launch a couple of phases of existing projects in Umang and Dwarka. And Ashiana Prakriti in Ekansh is also up there. So we will be adding to this. We definitely, some of it will get reduced because they'll get handed over. But I think net additions will be more than the net reductions in the second half of this financial year. And then we will look to add more as we go along in the next year as well. We have projects lined up for launch. We'll have four projects lined up for launch in the next financial year as well, out of the stock that we have already today. And some phases of new projects will come in. Like, you know, we'll definitely want more phases of Ashiana Mara to come in, more to come in of Malhar. So we will have a lot more launches coming in. That said, what I would say is that, and I said earlier, we are going to focus the company on return on equity and not necessarily top line. I think a large part of now the focus of the company is not just getting volume, but is also getting price and margins and realization, and we're focusing on improving the same. Like in Amara, the most pleasant thing wasn't just selling the entire volume out. The pleasant thing was achieving a price north of 6,000 rupees a square foot on saleable area. I think that's what the company's focus will be as well. So I think we're looking to manage both. That said, right now we are on track for about 2 to 2.5 million square. We're talking about 1,100 crores this year. I think we're on track to get to 1,100 crores of area booked this year. We'll need to keep ramping that up. There is organization capacity in the market to ramp that up. I think the big challenge that we'll face is getting new projects. Just land prices have become extremely high. Fortunately, we have four projects to launch in the next year, and we are on the lookout for more and figuring out how we can stitch together transactions that make sense both for the landlord and for us.
See, just a follow-up. See, like we say that land is a raw material, we have a target inventory of 5 to 7 times of current year execution plan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of having an area under construction, okay, and saleable area under construction, do we have any targets on those figures also, or it would be always the launches will be equivalent to,
you know,
what?
Roughly, one should look at a saleable area when turnaround time on average of what, 24 to 30 months. And therefore, if, like, you know, I would say whatever we want to sell annually, we need to have about 2 to 2.5x of that under total saleable area, and that's what's going to drive that. I think that's and with the view that we sell everything out when the phase closes and we develop during that execution, that's going to be how it's going to play out mostly.
Yeah, thank you. I'll join back in queue for further queries.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Rohit from Marshmallow Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and a great set of numbers. So curious, so it's, we quite clearly seeing good momentum. So the nature of the business is that we lock in the sales price today and we'll know the cost only down the line. So how do you think of commodity prices if they escalate or something like that in terms of the price at which you sold the projects today? The main ones like Malhar, Amara, etc.
I have elaborated this on this, Rohit. I think a lot of this is a function, and I think what really matters to us is margins, right, at the end of the day that we make, right? And I've elaborated this on this earlier. Transactions that we have done post 2015 generally, except for Malhar where margins are short, okay? Everywhere else, I think our margins are good, and whatever price increases we are doing more than sufficiently covers
the construction cost estimates. Like Ashana Mara was underwritten at a much lower price point that we have sold at. And I think the increase that we have gotten will more than cover any further increase in commodity prices than what we had expected it to do. Malhar, as I said, is a thin margin project. We don't have IF kind of margins there, so those are hurting. Ashana Anmol similarly is a low margin project. Increasing prices is not covering sort of the increase in construction costs that we have seen over there. But that said, all sort of newer projects that we have launched, Ashana Advik will be fine. We launched Ashana Amantran post this, we are fine. Ashana Seher, Ashana Aditya, we are sort of fine. And the pre-2015 deals, like say Ashana Tarang or Ashana Dwarka, we still have a little bit of a challenge. So I think that's where how I will sort of put those things together. We have more projects to launch which have been done post 2015, the four more projects. I think my view is overall that we are in a margin expansion zone on what we are booking today. So when these bookings get recorded for revenues in the company, our margin should have expanded from what they are today.
Perfect. So second question on Anmol and Gurgaon. So you mentioned that Gurgaon doing well with limited supplies. In that context, with the phase launch, it was quite a large phase launch and we sold one third there. So how do you feel, in your view, is that something that's extremely satisfactory?
Yeah, the traction on Ashana Anmol is more than satisfactory. We've selling very well month on month. I think October sales also went well. We are more than satisfied with the traction at Ashana Anmol.
Perfect. So you mentioned that, post 15, for 3-4 years, we are looking to solve some of the errors in decision and judgment or mistakes that we made. It took for 3-4 years, and last 1-2 years, you've been focusing on growing the organization to scale it up to the next level. Just curious to know, so we know that you focus a lot on sales, on improving sales and taking that to the organization to the next level. So what would be the next thing you think you should focus on over the next 3 to 5 years?
I think the big focus now would be, as the organization grows, is to preserve and perpetuate the culture of the organization. I think that has kept us in good stead before, in terms of being ethical, being customer centric, having a certain set of values in the organization which drives the culture of the organization. I think perpetuating that and taking that further as we grow in size and number of people and locations in diverse, I think that's going to be the key sort of focus of the organization. I think that's where I think we'll put a lot of energy behind as a senior team.
Fair enough. So that was helpful. And last question for me, it's probably not relevant for now, but just want to hear how you think about it. So you've expressed over the last few calls the focus on return on equity. So in that context, just curious to know, how do you think of buybacks, as because that's a way to shrink the equity and thereby help the return on equity as well. So just curious to know how you think about it. Is that something that makes sense for a real estate company at all?
I've been trying to wrap my brain around it myself. Personally, it's one of those things which are a little bit more difficult to understand. The buyback scenario of shares, we've not been able to wrap our head around it as to how it will work. I think that's the key aspect of it. There are some heavy transaction costs in India by way of tax, I believe, as well, as compared to. So we just want to also evaluate whether deploying this capital into growing the business is a better opportunity than buying back the shares of the company. I think that's the ROE kind of a discussion that there is. We have evaluated it, but right now we're trying to wrap our brains around all these things.
Thank you so much.
Continuous journey.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very helpful answer. Thank you so much. I'll get back into the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Harsh Beria, a professional investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, Harsh. Sure.
Hi. Congrats for the great pre-sales numbers this quarter. I think I joined a little bit late in the call and I missed some announcement about your Amara project. Can you, if you don't mind, can you repeat that?
Okay, I'll repeat the name also, Ashana Amara. But I think people have a little bit of a challenge pronouncing it. We'll be careful also next time, but this time it is the Ashana Amara. We launched phase one of 224 units and sold the entire phase one this year itself, or at launch itself, Harsh. So the next question was, when do we plan to launch phase two? We are sort of evaluating when to launch phase two. We are not sure whether to do it right away, whether it will take some time. And generally, we have a 6 to 9 month gap between phase launches. We are just evaluating what to do in this project right now.
Okay. Congrats for the sales in the phase one itself. I remember like a couple of years back, we kind of had the same situation in one of the projects where we sold at launch all the inventory. And you guys have mentioned that this might not always be the best strategy because there can be inflation issues over the construction life cycle of a project and you want to keep some inventory available at the time of delivery itself because you can get higher prices. Has there been a change in the thought process about that?
No, so I don't think that was completely true. Let me put it this way, even before we said, yes, inflation is a risk that one should be careful on. That was the other question that came in today. So one way to mitigate inflation risk is, you know, if you launch and you're not able to do construction, that's a big concern. Okay, and in one of our projects in Ashana Amantran Phase 2, particularly construction started late because of the sequence of work. And as compared to Ashana Daksh, which was also sold off very well, or Ashana Aditya, which was sold off very well, construction cost side risks were much lower because we started off work and, you know, the timelines were much shorter for costs to catch up on and you use that time to do work. So I think that part remains absolutely clear, that what we don't want to do is launch, sell, and then sit on it and not build. I think, you know, then we expose ourselves to sort of different types of costs risks to a different level altogether. And I just also tackled that question earlier, so I'll keep it short now. You can have the transcript earlier. But my view is that overall price increases that we have already gotten and that we expect to receive in the future phases or future stock to sell will lead to margin expansion and should cover the cost of construction, and I see overall margins from what we are selling this year, which will get reported for revenues in general, overall to be better than earlier, except, you know, I had said Ashana Malhar and Ashana Anmol are places where margins are going to be constrained and challenging.
Yeah, makes sense, and thanks for the clarification. I was looking at the delivery schedule slide of Ashana, and I see that both the Jamshedpur projects are supposed to have customer delivery in FY23 itself. Is the construction on track, and are we expected to book the revenues in FY23 itself for the Jamshedpur projects?
Well, Ashana Aditya Phase 1 in Ashana Seher, which is here, it is on track and we should be able to book revenues unless and until, you know, sometimes we have these, what happens for us to do our deliveries, we have to get occupancy certificates and lots of permissions from the government, including a fire NOC permission, a completion certificate, occupancy. These things can, you know, go, you know, 2-3 months here or there is not something which is something we can control and it can spill over to another quarter. And we keep correcting for those in some projects that might have happened. But I'm pretty sure that Ashana Seher and Ashana Aditya Phase 1, we should be able to deliver this year.
Okay, so the construction-wise, it will be delivered and there can be some delays in the final approvals from the government, which is beyond the control of the company anyway.
Yeah. So, but we can't hand over and book revenues without those approvals in place, right? So, but that said, I think we should get those this year itself.
Makes sense. And one small suggestion, I heard a discussion about buybacks. The next time you're considering a buyback, maybe do it at the same time when you guys were buying shares in 2020, March or April, because that would have been much more value accretive for everyone.
Fair enough, but thank you for that suggestion. I guess, so one thing that I get from you is for the buyback to be efficient for the company, the share price is up, deliveries, the lower the share price, the better it would be to execute a buyback on. And I will just repeat, I still haven't wrapped my head around this completely. Yeah. Some things become, we need to evaluate and learn from others and get some advice if that's the right way to put it.
Yeah.
Thank you for
that. Just a small follow-up on that. Like, if you have a tender-based thought process, then it makes sense to do it at a fair price. But if you are planning to do a buyback in open market route, maybe it makes a lot of sense when we are below book value.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Advice heard. Thank you for that advice, please.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Ankur Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening, Varun.
Good evening, Ankur.
Yeah. So a few quarters back, there was this, term sheet we signed on the land in, I think, Noida or Greater Noida for a senior living project. So I just wanted to know what's the progress on that. And if not that land, or as a company, are you still looking for some senior living project in that area?
No, that term sheet fell through, Ankur, and we are not evaluating Noida, Greater Noida at this moment of time for senior living. We find the market frothy in terms of land prices and challenging regulatorily. So we've decided not to evaluate for that right now.
Okay. And any other city apart from for senior living, apart from Bhiwadi, Pune, and Chennai, are you scouting for any other city?
We are evaluating. So we are in the process of selecting where to go. So we are evaluating Mumbai, Bangalore, and Hyderabad. But it's very nascent, so it will be hard to comment where we're going. But demographically, we want to be in the west and the south. I think for senior living, that just makes sense from a population demographic perspective.
Okay, so you said it is still in the nascent stage, but any location which can be locked in, can we expect something in the next financial year, or can it spill over to even
from a launch? No, probably we'll get a deal in the next financial year, and the launch will be after that for sure. But I don't think we'll even get to a term sheet stage before the next financial year. In this, I think we're just early in the evaluation stage of what to do, where to do.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Varun. I had only that question. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity, and congratulations, Varun and Vikas. So first question was just on the launch of Amara. Are you seeing the return of real estate investors back into the market in Gurgaon or in other parts of the country where we are doing projects?
I don't have data, VP, to comment on this. Vikashji also shaking his head, whether it's investors or end users. Our sales team is telling us that it's end users, but this kind of traction at launch tells me that investors are back. That's my.
Yeah, that was sort of my guess as well, because that's what I'm hearing in Gurgaon, that investors are back. So that's what I was wondering about. Okay. And then the second question is on the pre-tax cash flow being negative this quarter. Anything you want to call out on that? Because you were obviously had a robust cash flow in first quarter.
Yeah. So the reason for negative operating cash flow this quarter, VP, is that although there was some improvement in collection, but that was more than offset by higher construction cost, which was due to execution commitments and all. Plus, we had certain expenditure on marketing, sales and marketing side as well, due to a couple of pre-launches. You know, the kind of expenses that we incur typically during pre-launch, like Ashana Malar, Ashana Amara, and Pune again is altogether such a new market. So we had certain costs incurred out there. So that was the reason, no other reason as such.
So I think, yeah, so basically, VP, I think the first quarter was an, the second quarter was an aberration overall, because, you know, constructed area went up by about 12-13% from the first quarter. It also, collections decreased a tad bit from the first quarter because the sales got more back-ended to the end of the second quarter and now the, and more to the third quarter. And, you know, to put these sales together, we had to do a lot of some marketing expenses, some even construction, you know, getting a sales office ready, a show flat ready. A lot of those things got loaded and the cash flows to those are a little postponed. So it's a little bit of a quarterly aberration in my view.
Got it. And then on the ROE side, I think you were targeting approximately 10% this year. So are we on track for that for financial year 23?
So, yeah, on a reported basis, I honestly don't know. VP, again, you know, slippages of a delivery 2-3 months here there can move things around a little bit. And internally, we don't track on a reported basis. We have an economic basis for tracking. Economic basis ROEs should definitely cross the double-digit threshold this year. I don't think that's a challenge. I think aspirationally, we are looking to get to 15% and over. That does remain a little bit of a challenge on an economic basis. But I think if we concentrate our focus and energy that we have done, the way we'll find a way to get there. And the good news has been the improvement in ROEs has been on track, I would say.
Right, right. No, that's wonderful to know. And then lastly, you know, you spoke about 1,100 crores of top line this, or not top line, but the sales this year. So any early guidance for next year with 4 launches planned, etc.?
No, not yet. We know we don't have a guidance for next year. I think we're still working on the same to get there. But again, you know, I think the focus, as I had repeated earlier, is going to be ROE. So I might be even happier with a little lower number than this year, as long as we are able to improve margins by improving prices. I think we are going to focus on margin expansion as well, I think, going forward.
Okay. And I think even the mix of the projects with the increasing contribution coming from geographies like Gurugram and Pune, I think the mix also will keep contributing towards a higher realization. So both of them and very well supported due to the tailwinds that we clearly see in the sector. So these geographies contributing and plus a continuous opportunity to harden the prices across projects, across geographies in general also.
Yeah. No, actually, Vikash, that was my next question, that your realization seems to be moving up nicely every quarter, So is that now a structural change because we'll be doing more projects in Gurugram and Pune?
Yes, it is. It's certainly a structural change because in the larger scheme of things, from a long-term perspective, we are kind of looking at increasing our presence in geographies like Gurugram, Pune, which are certainly higher realization markets as compared to our historical averages. Even if you see in general, we see the prices moving north, like most of the geographies, if you see, maybe with here and there exception of maybe premium homes in Bhiwadi, wherein still they are at a sub 4000 level. But talking in general, whether senior living project or geographies of Jaipur, Gurugram, Pune, clearly above 5000. And in fact, Gurugram more than 6,000 now. But Jaipur also in general, we see crossing 4,000. And in markets of Chennai also, in Senior 11 projects, we see north of 4,000. So it's quite secular if you talk about the price increases.
Now, that's good. And lastly, what's the competitive intensity in Pune? Because everybody seems to be announcing projects there.
It is very high intensity VP.
In premium homes?
In premium homes.
But senior living... So senior living will be a... we feel that it will be a little different ball game in the sense that we have got more stickiness as far as the brand is concerned, and the customer segment is a little different in terms of decision making, in terms of their aspiration for our kind of brand and the kind of location that we go look at. So there we feel that the competitive intensity will be less vis-a-vis the premium housing.
But we are doing both types of projects over there, correct? Or we plan to?
We have a premium housing launched, VP, and we are in the process of launching the senior living project in a place called Varale near Talegaon, so in sort of close to Pune, but on the way to Bombay.
Right, but what I'm trying to understand is that going forward as a part of our strategic direction, we will do both types of projects in the Pune area, right?
Yes.
Okay, understood. Okay, great. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Sharma from M3 Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My question is on land prices. You know, I think land prices were running a bit faster than historical averages, and you just alluded that it continues. So, you know, on a thumb rule basis, because you believe it's an upcycle, what's the thumb rule for land prices that you would want to continue because on the realization you believe you'll be able to cover it up?
Yeah, so the thing is, we don't want to be very aggressive on underwriting land prices that the sale prices will improve. I have a view on a bull market that the bull market is there, but you know, I've been wrong on many things many times. So the question on the land price is that we will look for places where it makes sense on the current sales price that we see in that market. And then, you know, and then if it goes up, great. If it goes down, not so good. But, you know, there is still some more protection than if you, you know, it has to go down from the current land, current sales price and not from the expected future increased sales price. I think so the real challenge is how do we get land with a reasonable set of assumptions by being aggressive on the assumptions. Land prices will totally make sense today. I think it's what do we do that with reasonable set of assumptions we are able to find deals which are win-win both for the landlord and for Ashiana. And I think that will require a place to find pockets where we believe because we are Ashiana and the brand we have and the development we'll do and the kind of development we'll do, we'll be able to fetch a higher price than the market in general. And so it's not a call on whether the market will run up or not. It's a call where we believe we can create a lot of value. I think that's the focus area in finding parcels. So senior living is one way. You know, we believe senior living has less competitive intensity, so it can find better value. Some places where we have better brand, or you know, in Jaipur, let's say we can take a call in certain locations, we'll be able to sell better. You know, and that's the important perspective that we have.
Sure. And just a related one. So, you know, is there any modeling you would have done that maybe 20% or 30% as a raw material of land is good enough for you, or does it vary region by region?
Say that again, please.
So you know, based on the current realization, if you believe that the land is maybe costing to 20% or 30% of your total realization value, you would go ahead. Is it based on some financial modeling or historical averages, or it will be location to location in terms of
location to location is deal to deal and based on certain set of assumptions. There we don't go into historical averages and kya tha, we say we can sell at this price, this is what our cost of construction and others will be. If we give this, let's say, share of revenues to the landlord, we'll be set with this. Is this margin workable or not? And in those, in and when we are calculating this, are our assumptions on construction cost, marketing cost, overheads, and our sale price, are they reasonably conservative or not?
But the common thumb rule is that we try to look at a GP margin at a standard 30% number across market. So across market, the realization price and the land price might vary, but 30% is the kind of benchmark that we look at while underwriting the projects.
All right. And one last question. See, you know, land prices in a region or in a city will move en masse. So, you know, is it that we go further away from the perimeters of the city wherein we can find a better realization? Is that one of the thought process, or you believe within the city also there might be projects which are, I mean, what could be the reason that one parcel would be cheaper than maybe next two? Where can we find this arbitrage?
It's the arbitrage is found in places where others are not willing to go.
Okay.
I think you create value in terms of open spaces, in terms of quality of product that you are able to provide, timely completion, and all those kind of lifelong facilities management, those kind of benefits that you provide, and you are able to command a good pricing from the customer.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Advant from MultiAct. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question is to Varun. Varun, you spoke about return on equity and that you want to get to double digits. But you said you are not looking at reported return on equity because I understand it's really... there's a lot of noise in that. You said you look at the economic return on equity. Can you just share how you calculate that and what do you use as the numerator and denominator to gauge that?
Our denominator is the equity of the company, the book net worth. Yeah. Okay. It's difficult to adjust. And for numerator, we have a way to calculate economic profit, which is based on, you know, how much area we have sold, how much area we constructed, what our cost of construction is coming, what our sale price is coming. So we estimate volumes based on that and margins based on that and calculate an economic profit based on that. We have a whole system of doing this. So we have a little bit more regular MIS on it.
Okay, and that would be based on what you are selling this year and not what is a reflection of what you actually sold 2-3 years back. That is the real difference.
It could be either ways. It's a reflection of what we are selling this year and what we are constructing this year. So if we have sold this year and not constructed it, we look at it when we actually build it out a little bit. Not exactly delivery, but we have equivalent area constructed, you know. So, you know, if we sell this year and we don't build anything, I'm not going to capture all the volumes today and this year.
So the idea is that the sales and construction, both of them have to move in tandem. You can't be in a situation wherein you construct and are unable to sell, or you can't have a scenario wherein you get the orders just like in a factory, or you get sales and you don't construct. So both of them have to more or less move hand in hand.
So we have a way to estimate this by choosing the both the two things together.
Okay, got it. That was my only question. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of follow-ups. So I noticed that your JV project pipeline seems to be drying up. So any particular trend underlying that? Is it just people are finding easier to sell their land, or you are shying away from doing the deals? If you can just comment on that.
No, most new transactions, so since COVID, we have done 7 transactions, VP, and of those 7 transactions, 4 have been pure play revenue share JVs, whether it's Ashana Ekansh, whether it's the Jaipur, the other project, whether it's been Ashana Malhar in Pune, Ashana Amod in Pune, you know, they've been revenue share transactions, and even the 2-3 that we have bought outright, two in Chennai and one in Gurgaon, the one in Gurgaon and one in Chennai have been bought on the IFC platform. So effectively, you know, it's not like we are putting in 100, we are buying 100% and putting in complete equity and on that. And the third project, which is Nemily, is structured as a profit share, and it's along with Arihant Group, and we've bought the land together. So sort of, you know, we have a local partner there as well. So we haven't actually gone ahead and bought completely outright as a 100% equity contribution of Ashiana in any of these transactions, actually.
So maybe I misunderstood the line, but if you look at your quarterly sales trend slide, the area sold or for that particular, for the joint venture line is zero. So that's why I was wondering what's going on.
Yeah, because those joint ventures or profit share joint ventures, actually most transactions have moved to revenue share structures. So now we're doing preferably revenue share joint ventures, and that's why the movement. And in revenue share joint ventures, the entire top line gets captured into our P&L.
Got it. And then the other question was that, you know, given all the land bank you have, and some of them is obviously not usable, so what is the realistic inventory we have for, how many years do we have the land inventory?
Yeah, so, you know, when we look at things, we ideally want to reduce the land inventory to as quick a cycle as we wish, right? If you want, and you and one way you want a little bit more because it gives you a little bit of room to do work. As of now, I think we have about 5 to 7 years of work at the current pace that we have. We have a crore and four in future projects, which basically means, you know, the land available for future development, which might be a little bit more dicey or not so stuck in those, or a little too early in the stage. If I exclude that, we have a crore and 4 lakhs, and we have about 10 to 15 lakhs to sell between ready projects and ongoing projects. So we have about a crore and 12 million square foot. So at about two and a half, where we are at right now, we are running at about, we are running at about 5 to 6 times the pace. So as in this two and a half million square foot a year ramps up, which probably it would, as we look at more return, how to get to return on equity. So I said we'll look at margins as well. This number might need to increase as we go along.
Right. So if you bake in the growth from the current run rate, then is it fair to say that you will be probably somewhere in the 3 to 4 year inventory?
Yeah, somewhere close to 4 years, between 4 and 5 is where I would say where we would be. Hopefully closer to 4.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
We would like to thank all of you for being on this call and being so patient and with all the questions and answers. If you are unable to take any questions, please feel free to write to us directly or reach out to us directly. And with that, we would like to conclude the call. A lot of the material we have spoken about is posted on our website, and you can also email your queries for any further clarification. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us on this call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ashiana Housing Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.